Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Buzz. I'm your host, Jeff Sherman. We have Marty Keenan, Studio B, and as well as Dr. Lopkin. Those are my favorite cats, Dr. Lopkin, Siamese cats.
I thought you were at a dirt track
like,
or
what
something.
What was that?
Yamaha 150s or something crazy.
And, of
right
course,
there.
There's a lot of serious matters, but came out last week or this week that who's smarter, cats or dogs?
Yes, dogs were smarter.
And but it did have some interesting things. One of the things I don't believe or don't quite get is how do they know? They said the theory is that dogs, they're about the same intelligence, but dogs evolved since their domestication because they interact with people more, and cats' brains did not. The 2,000-year-old cat is a modern-day cat. That I don't know how they.
I don't know how they found that.
Extensive interviews. Mm-hmm.
I know they measured intelligence by the amount of neural activity, but I don't know how they would have figured out the evolution.
Well, they did say that a dog's brain is bigger, but a cat actually has more neurons in the cortex. But I would like to maybe throw it out to our listening audience, either the cat lovers or dog lovers, and see which one you think is smarter. 860-685-7700, 685-7700, 685-7700. Dr. Lopkin, my assessment is that dogs are smarter, but not by as much as people think. What say you?
Oh, I don't think the difference is that much at all. But yes, I do think dogs are smarter.
Mr. Keena?
And I'm not a dog guy, but I would imagine that they are. But you look at the number of...
You're too much of a neat freak for any animal.
But, you know, the fact that dogs are trained to do so many different things in assistance to the humans, you know, I'm going to give the dogs the nod.
I think that's a good one. I think, though, can I tell you a little story? When I was in business and I used to travel tons, so I lived in a apartment and I had a, you know, bedroom right next to the bathroom. And I traveled so much, I had a suitcase and I put between them because it's traveled like almost every day. So a lot of times I'd come home from wherever, Europe, whatever, who knows. And I'd be so tired that I just shut my bedroom door and I had a cat, Henry. I didn't want him coming in and bothering me. And most of the time he got into my bedroom. And I was like, how did this happen? One time I closed my bedroom door and I was watching the Yankees game. And I see him go climb onto my suitcase, reach over and turn the door.
No, No,
cats are very smart. I don't think they're quite as smart, but very close. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So you wanted to give, and we do invite our callers to chime in if you're a cat or a dog lover, 860-685-7700, 685-7700. You had some shout-outs, Dr. Lopkin.
Yeah, you know, we're always very quick to call on people when they do things wrong. But some of the folks that we've been pretty hard on actually started doing some things right this past week, and I think we need to acknowledge that. Not the least of which is John Larson. John Larson and Joe Courtney were the only members of the Connecticut delegation, House or Senate.
Wait, Rosa DeLauro, the genius, didn't...
Nope, she did not do this.
She's one of the all-time greats, though, isn't she?
Oh, yeah, she's brilliant.
Brilliant.
But they were the only...
Wait. She's a big-time socialist, isn't she?
She is.
Yeah, socialist and really, I'm sure, is good for the business community in Middletown.
Oh, she's horrible for the business community everywhere.
Everywhere, but, yeah. Yes, when is she going to go away already?
This is going to be her fourth or fifth term.
Something like that.
It's 20th. Are you kidding?
I don't know.
Forever.
She's been around longer than I've been in Connecticut, so I don't know how long it's been.
Yep. Yes. So,
but these two were the only ones of the Connecticut delegation to vote to fund the CHIP program.
Why do you think Larson, the bloated congressman, would do that?
Restart the...
But why do you think he did that?
Why? I don't know. Maybe he finally realized that his constituents needed something that the party wasn't backing.
I'm really shocked because he's such a dye-in-the-wool
but they voted, liberal socialist. They voted to fund the CHIP program and voted to reopen the government, where every other Connecticut member of the delegation voted against it.
Well, let's talk about the shutdown. Of course, I am biased, but I believe that Schumer got egg on his face first. Dr. Lopkin, then Marty.
Oh, Schumer definitely got egg on his face.
I think
face.
He got his ass
handed to him. The Democrats as a whole got egg on their face. The liberal wing of their party is yelling at them because they did it for 3 days and didn't get anything out of it.
Yeah, but wait a second. Let's take a little bit of a deeper dive. Aren't, like, let's say, and there's no such thing as a middle-of-the-road Democrat, but let's just say there is, for suspend reality for a second. Aren't they really, I think they're pretty scared of their own party. Like, if you're trucking, they were protesting at his house. I mean, it's a radical socialist party now, isn't it?
It really has taken that swing.
Most of the party is, yes. It's a radical socialist.
The most vocal wing of the party is.
I think the party, Bernie Sanders is the default head of the party now, even though he's an independent. He's odds-on favorite right now, the jewel of the party.
No, the party's given up on him.
They said he was the favorite to win in another primary.
I thought Senator Warren was going to be the queen for the day.
Don't know if Pocahontas will be doing that.
Yeah. No, I don't think either one of them's doing all that well.
But the Democratic Party does intrigue me. Well, I know we got another shout out. Is that they're really not? And you comment on this, gentlemen. They're really a very little concern for the economy. I don't think that's even a factor in what they think about. Do you?
No, they don't. They don't seem to look at the economy as an issue that they want to deal with.
No, I think it's basically a social identity politics, and that's what their major focus, and a global warming, and the only reason they want open borders because they've lost the white vote.
It's really looking that way.
There you go.
I mean, that's, you know, if the Connecticut delegation voted against CHIP, the only reason anybody's giving is because they were voting for illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
So if those are the two issues that came up, and you're supporting people who are here illegally over poor citizens that need help, you have to wonder why you're doing this.
What is the infatuation? I know what the infatuation, but I'll ask the rhetorical question first for you, Dr. Lopkin, then Marty. What is the recent, and it's only been over the last 10 years, the infatuation with the Democratic Party with illegal, unbridled immigration?
I don't know, and it's not even 10 years. It's shorter than that, because there's this great videos of Chuck Schumer from just a couple of years ago talking about how we've got to secure our borders and we should not be tolerating illegal immigration.
Even Hillary was for a border wall.
Yep, and it's the sign of the time. So whenever you're in the position to be the opposition party, you'll oppose, and then when you're in...
No, I think the Democrat party is more... I think they want constituencies.
Well, I'm sure there's a little bit of that.
I think there's a lot of that.
Also that, you know, the American dream factor that people try to play forward. And then with the Dreamers, you know, they didn't do anything wrong. So if there isn't a criminal record, I don't understand why they won't, you know, come up with some type of a program that these folks have made a positive impact already in their communities.
Well, do we really know that?
Well, the ones that we hear about
have been deported, they've come up with a plan.
Wait, I'm actually for... I mean, what are you going to throw them out?
Right.
But I think it's the Democrats and the liberal mainstream media. I mean, do you really know that they're all Albert Schweitzers?
Well, I don't think we're going that far.
No, but you said they all contribute. I mean, I don't know if they do.
Well, the ones
that are pointed out,
right,
yes.
That's correct.
Right,
yeah.
Do I know? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think there
are. I'm sure there are some that have got in trouble that might have been gang members and such, and I agree that they need to be deported. But the contingencies that they're putting forward as far as the wall is concerned, and I don't have any problem with them putting together a rider where there's a little give and take on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I think the plan they've been talking about over the last few days, I think, is a very good plan. They figured something like 1.2 million Dreamers would get to become citizens, and then there's billions of dollars put towards border security to stop illegals from coming in now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some more in training for the border police.
Right.
And then some restrictions of, who can migrate. And, is it family members?
Oh, wait, migration has to stop.
Well, that's in there. They're trying to shift it to merit-based.
And Chucky Schumer's big accomplishment. I mean, the guy is, Chris... used to say, and I agree with him, you meet more talented people in 1 hour than you could in a year in Washington.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Chucky Schumer You're an independent business, a successful independent business. What would be the chances of Chucky Crying Schumer being successful as an independent business person?
Oh, none.
Zero.
Absolutely none.
Yeah, zero.
And remember, I've known him for years.
Yeah, he's just a whatever. He's an opportunistic politician of the worst regard. And like you said, there's a YouTube video of Chuck versus Chuck. And basically, every position he's ever had, he was against.
Yes.
5 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was for a wall. He was not for.
He's right. For it. He's against it.
Right. They all have flip-flopped. And
oh, of course.
It's kind of interesting that when we talk about the Democrats, if you take a look at California with Governor Brown retiring and now, you know, I was reading a little bit the other day about how there's people even left of him that are just anxious for him to get out of the way.
That's frightening.
So that the younger Democratic Party could start to, you know.
Who do they want to get out of the way?
Brown in California.
Brown
is retiring.
Is a psycho.
Well, he's retiring.
And they're saying he's not liberal enough.
You know what about California? Used to be the land of plenty. Now it's the highest rate of poverty of any state.
Oh, it's a disaster.
Yeah, I think a lot of the sanctuary city stuff had to do with that, though.
Well, when you have a governor that cares more about illegal immigrants than starting having businesses come into the state, usually a prescription for disaster, I would have to say. A caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, it's your call.
All right. I don't know. I pretty much disagree with almost every point you guys are trying to
make. Surprise.
Yeah, no surprise there.
Hello.
I didn't do anything.
Well,
we'll have to call back.
Yep.
Oh well.
I think the FCC was listening.
No. It was something like a switch. Something happened.
Yeah. I heard a click and then nothing.
Right. It was something.
Yeah. Oh well.
He'll get back to us.
So you're talking about that, and we might as well continue on that because I'm sure it'll call back. So you were saying, in terms of flip-flopping, though, I think if you have such, Chucky's crying. Okay, crying Chuck is crying a year ago about illegals and how it's anti-American not to have illegal immigrants in the country. And 5 years ago, he was for a border wall.
Right.
So how are you crying now about it? Crying. Chucky's crying.
It is absolutely amazing.
The problem with the Democratic leadership with him and Pelosi is that they're still thinking in the old way. I don't believe that they've actually tried to reconvene in their minds a transition of what the party should look like. They're still dragging along that ball and chain that's been the party platform for years.
Well, I don't think they're radical enough for the party. That's the problem. The party has moved on and become a hard left radical socialist party. And even Chuck Schumer and even Dr. Lopkin, Nancy Pelosi isn't radical enough.
Well, I mean, it is really amazing that if you look back at Hillary's campaign, a lot of the things she was campaigning against were programs that her husband put in.
Oh, yeah, no.
Because in the 20 years intervening, the party just made this radical shift.
Oh, no, the Clinton presidency was a moderate president.
Yes.
He would have no business in the current Democrat. He would be thrown out on his ear in the current Democratic Party.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing.
In a lot of ways, he has been. I mean, they're not really going to him to be the elder statesman looking for guidance or anything.
Good point, Marty.
And they might have.
Well, after Hillary lost, they sort of blew that position.
Yeah, that's true. He is an ex-president.
He's an ex-president, but they really stopped bringing them in after she lost, and then after the whole Weinstein fiasco, because Bill Clinton and Harvey Weinstein are good buddies. Mm-hmm. After the Weinstein fiasco, you'll notice you haven't heard much from either one of them.
Yeah. Well, you know something about the Bill Clinton. I voted for him.
So did I.
And I thought the witch hunt about Monica Lewinsky, it didn't rise to the level of impeachment. I was kind of outraged. But the more I think about him, maybe times have definitely changed. Yeah. But with the context, he's a creep.
No, oh, I mean, yes.
Okay, okay. As a 55-year-old guy, which he was, I'm assuming about that's what his age was back then, right? Close enough.
Something
right?
like that.
Who cares? As a 55-year-old guy, you got an 18, 19-year-old intern. Any morally substantial person is not going to be, even if it's consensual, is going to be fooling around with an 18-year-old intern. Agreed or not?
Agreed, yes.
I mean, it's beyond creepy. It's not sex. It's Nutcaseville. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
So you wanted to agree with the show and tout how much you look towards us for your moral and political compass.
Oh, absolutely.
There you go.
What a dark day that would be.
Yep. Chris isn't here, at least.
Yeah, well, that's true. There is that.
It's a glimmer of hope. Go ahead.
So I did want to at least get back to your original initial point. You guys were talking about Democrats and how it's really all about identity politics. That's what I was calling
yes.
about.
Yes. But they don't know. They don't care about the economy, anything about GDP growth. That even with Obama, that was like an afterthought. It's essentially a social engineering identity politics party that, yes, is for open borders, open immigration. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd have to disagree with that. You know, all politics is identity anyway. But, you know, there's a lot of Democratic positions, economic positions, that you're not addressing, and that it is part of the Democratic.
Okay, tell me about that.
Well, universal health care, Citizens United, tax reform, corporate welfare, concentration of wealth, privatization.
Privatization of what?
That's a half a dozen off the top of my head.
Privatization of what? You said privatization.
Privatization of the commons. We can call it that if you like.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So they have these. Now, they're supposed to be for the little people, right? The downtrodden. So why are they for open immigration and, in fact, illegal immigration? It hurts the very constituency they're trying to protect.
How does it hurt that constituency?
Because you have low entry-level jobs that are taken by basically people that are new immigrants, either, you know, if you have open borders, legal or illegal.
Well, I think there's two sides to that. One is that most of that is a myth because Americans don't want they're not picking vegetables. They're not taking those jobs. They're not mowing lawns. These are low-wage jobs that Americans don't want. Secondly,
do you think if you have no, if you have just a poor...
I know the guy that does my lawn would disagree with you on that.
The guy who does your lawn probably owns a landscaping company.
He does, yes, but he's the one doing the work.
And right. He could be undercut by underskilled labor, couldn't he?
Right.
And who does he have working for him?
He's the sole proprietor. He's doing it himself. He comes out to my house and mows the lawn.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so
do we know anybody who's picking vegetables or migrant workers?
Vegetables at the Stop and Shop.
Yeah, all right.
And you know what I've been into lately? Guacamole. It's amazing. Are you into guacamole?
I do enjoy guacamole.
It's really good. Go ahead.
You agree with me? That's good.
Yes, you like? Yeah, I like it. It's really good. And I got a guac tool that helps cut into it. It's amazing. Go ahead. But no, you don't agree that your party's become a hard left socialist with a de facto leader is a ex-communist and someone that spent their honeymoon in Russia, Bernie?
Wow, that's pretty bombastic. First of all, let me ask you what's wrong? What's the big boogeyman surrounding socialism? What is that? What's that about for you guys?
Well, for me, it's about the fact that it's basically failed everywhere in the world.
There you go.
Except for Norway, except for all the Norwegian companies and most of Europe. So
no, most of Europe just tried to fight their way out of bankruptcy.
Well, if we look at some of these northern European countries that are, you know, the boogeyman socialism, and we do some comparative analysis, we see that they are doing a little bit better than we are in many cases. Many indicators, they outperform us.
Such as?
So how do you explain that discrepancy?
Well, such as what indicators?
Well, I'll give you the happiness index. Norway's number one.
Okay, we'll give you that. Well, there's one right off the, you know. Universal health care. Child welfare.
Well, you say that as though universal health care is necessarily a good thing.
It is. Well, I tell you what, let's use that as a comparison. Let's compare universal health care with the fragmented, convoluted, out-of-pocket health care system in the U.S. We pay more, get less, and have poorer outcomes.
Okay, that I can't disagree with you on.
I concur with that because
healthcare. Yes, the healthcare system is severely broken.
Yes, that I would agree with.
But I have to say, I have a number of Canadian friends.
Oh, God, here we go. You're not going to throw out the Canadian and the whole British healthcare system. That's so tired.
Well, the British healthcare system, first of all, is almost bankrupt. They can't even afford to provide health care for their own citizens anymore.
Well, and how about the other systems? You know, we'll put the beverage system to the side. How about the Bismarck system?
Enlighten me about the Bismarck system. How does it work?
It's another form of universal health care. How about the France system? How about that one?
France's system is also almost bankrupt.
Oh, stop. It is not almost
bankrupt. It is! Look it up!
Well, let me tell you something. They pay less than we do for health care compared to GNP.
By the way, you just got a thing on the wire that Dow set another record.
Isn't yes.
That's a problem, I think, huh?
So our health care costs more, we get less, and the outcomes are poorer than universal health care in most of the other models or countries. So you can't say that ours is better. It's fragmented.
No, I'm not saying our health care system is better. Our health care system is severely flawed. What I'm saying is, so is theirs. We need to find a way to fix all of them.
I completely disagree. If all their citizens are insured, if their outcomes...
Okay, hold it. That's where I'm going to stop you. That is a misnomer. Insurance is not health care. Having insurance does not mean you can get care.
When all their citizens are insured, that is health care and that is affordable access.
No, because even if you have insurance, it doesn't mean the insurance is covering your care.
Well, who's covering the care if there's no insurance?
A lot of times they're not getting all the care they need. Insurance is the answer is not to give insurance. The answer is to find a way to lower the cost of health care.
Well, they have. If the U.S. pays 17% of GDP in our health care costs, the next highest country is France, and they're at 11%.
Oh, by the way, this guy. There's also this one to let you know. We talk about the Europe and about the wonders of socialism. Finland just elected someone that is also wanting to exit the EU. So basically, the EU is pretty much finished. People are running against socialist dictates.
People are not running away from socialism.
I think so.
And let's not muddy the healthcare issue with the boogeyman of socialism and anecdotal elections or Brexit in Europe. If the next highest country is 11% of GDP, they therefore are paying less and still insure all their citizens.
I get the health. We could go on forever with the health care. So what about socialism? So you agree that in other words, that what about socialism do you are so enamored with?
Well, I don't think it's. I think what troubles me is this capital S, this boogeyman socialism. That is, you know, it's a creeping communism. What is that about for you guys? Yeah. So thus far, you've said it's healthcare, but that.
No, you said it was healthcare.
No, I'd rather take care of myself. I don't need big government taking care of me, and I don't need to take from others.
That's exactly the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because it costs us more when we don't insure everything.
We're not talking about the insurance. We're talking about socialism in general.
But healthcare.
I can
is
do
socialism.
Okay. I know, but I
no.
I,
healthcare
I think people,
is not socialism. Yeah. Healthcare is some. Yeah. Socialism is an economic model. Mm-hmm. Healthcare is an issue to be dealt with. You can deal with healthcare in many different ways, not necessarily socialist. They're not. They don't go hand in hand.
But actually, Cole, we're going to move. The discussion is about this. One thing I would have to say, America is now divided between the socialist fiefdoms and capitalism, and I think it's reflected in the Democratic and Republican divide. Because
listen, one last point.
Go ahead.
I think it's not socialism and capitalism. I don't think anybody has a problem, any American has a problem with capitalism. That again is a misnomer.
Bernie Sanders does.
Bernie Sanders hates.
He came right out and said it.
He has a real huge problem. Although he's, you know what I love about socialists? It's always good for other people. Meanwhile, Bernie just built like a $600,000 house. It's all good for you and I, but yeah, little Bernie, the little good socialist,
What Bernie And most progressives have a problem with it. It is not capitalism. It's unfettered capitalism.
Okay.
That's the distinction that you fail to recognize.
We thank you for pointing it out to us. You have a nice weekend.
Good caller.
I think it was fine.
Yes. But my concern is, you know, when we talked about privatization, and I don't know if this falls under that category, but you've got like a CVS purchasing an insurance company, right? They're purchasing.
Right. Yes, they bought Aetna.
Aetna. So that's certainly starting to minimize the amount of choice people are going to have when you have one huge company that's looking over the pharmaceutical piece as well as
No, that's actually – it's not going to affect choice because it's a vertical merger. It is actually going to streamline certain things. Not everything about the merger is all that great. But there are still – other insurance companies and other pharmaceutical companies, other pharmacy companies. So it's not really going to affect choice.
Well, one thing I do agree with Marty on is I think the whole era of Teddy Roosevelt and Trust Busters, I think over the last 60 years, big business has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's not
good. Yes.
Not good for the economy, not good for competition. And there is crony capitalism. That's a fact.
Oh, yes, there is.
I mean, that,
absolutely.
Know, if a modern observer has a problem, it's like, you know, later, dude. But if, you know, General Motors, because of their own stupid decisions, made crappy cars, made crappy decisions, they get bailed out. So we got to move on. 860-685-7700, 685-7700. Speaking of politics and speaking of the buzz, the views of this show are not the views of WESU or Wesleyan University. Now, moving again on the vein of politics, John Kerry is considering 2020. First, Dr. Lopkin, then Marty. Are you pretty psyched about that?
Oh, I'm thrilled. Yeah, this is a man who couldn't even convince America to vote for him against George W. Bush.
Exactly.
So I don't see how he's going to stand a chance now.
That's just more spaghetti to be thrown against the wall to see what will stick.
Yeah, probably.
Right, and I'm kind of disappointed if we're going to throw out retreads. And that's a problem, I think, you know, for the Democratic Party.
Well, that seems to be all they have lately.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand why they're not nurturing a group of people that they can start to move forward.
They really should. And I have to say, over the last 6 months or so, I have spoken with a lot of local politicians, people who are running for local offices on both sides of it, on Republicans and Democrats. And you've got a lot of good people with a lot of good ideas, and the parties seem to be ignoring them.
Let's see what our caller has to say. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, sorry. Something's. Hold on. We got a little problem.
Little
here.
Feedback problem.
Little feedback. I wonder what that is. Go ahead. Tell me what's on your mind.
Yes, I was just admiring the negotiation skills of Trump on DACA. He threw out numbers like 1.5 million DACA people that's in this country. We have heard over and over it's only 800,000 or so. Trump doubled that number, then he doubled down by just making certain demands. What a beautiful deal that is to not only increase the number, but double down on what he really wants.
Okay, do you think he'll get what he wants? And the other question is, hold on, what are we talking about the Democratic Party? Do you agree that they're now a hard left socialist party?
Absolutely, and they don't know how to deal with Trump and his negotiating skills.
No, and now... do you think that an agreement will reach? I think the party's become such a hard left party. I don't see how that's going to happen.
An agreement will reach because if you observe what happened during the shutdown, during the temporary shutdown for the 3 days, 4 days, Democratic congressman, one Democratic congressman, and he was Hispanic or Latino, I can't remember, but he came out and said, give Trump what he wants, give him this wall.
Yeah, Gertzigotis, yeah.
Okay, when he said that, that gave Trump them the incentive to present this proposal that they're presenting now, which is a hardcore proposal, but he's doubling the numbers of DACA recipients that will be entitled to a pathway to citizenship.
Which most Americans agree with.
You're right.
Which most Americans agree with, and guess what? the Democrats are having a serious problem how to deal with that, because either they can reject those other 3 or 4 points that Trump outlined, which is hardcore, or accept.
Here's a problem, caller. Here's a problem. If they vote for any kind of immigration, curtail any type of immigration, vote for the wall, their constituency is so hard left at this particular point in time, they might be voted out of office.
But I think you're wrong. I'll tell you why. But not entirely wrong. But I think you're wrong. Because if you look at
there's a first time for everything. Yes, go ahead.
Look, you look at the response to when Trump said he will give DACA recipients a pathway to citizenship during the shutdown and the uproar against the Democrats during that time. The Democrats got a hell of a problem to deal with, because how do you deal with the fact that he'll double that number from 800,000 to 1.5 million?
I think there's an excellent point, and you know something? Well done. I think in my home, you tell me, I believe the Democrats are really scratched. They don't, like you said, they don't know how to deal with this guy. They don't have a firm foundation, and really, they just go with the wind anyway. And I think, and they have bad leaders. Nancy Pelosi's ready for like the dog track like 10 years ago. They have no young, vibrant leadership, correct?
And that's absolutely correct, because you look at who they're putting out, the field for 2020. Ugh. Half the people we don't know, and half the people that
we do know, and that's the problem. Like, what do you think of John Kerry? Well, do you hear Dr. Lopkin that John Kerry told the Palestinian leadership not to engage? That's almost like subversive behavior.
What see, John Kerry don't understand the mood of this country and the mood of this country love for Israel.
But he hates Israel.
Hold on.
Does he not, him and Obama at their root core despise Israel?
Come on, look at the history. Look at the history of Israel and Obama. Obama hated Israel.
What I'm saying, yes.
He hated Israel.
So why do so many Jews vote Democratic?
That's the amazing thing to me is that
it's like, hello?
You have somebody who hates Israel and you still vote for him. Wake up. To me, it's not amazing.
It's almost comical. Lopkin, do you agree with the caller?
It is. It's absolutely ridiculous. Actually, I want to throw something out. The caller was saying how everybody they're putting up is either a retread or people we've never heard of. Is it possible that the Democratic Party is throwing people at 2020 because they know they're going to lose and they don't want to put up anybody to host a real campaign?
Well, see, they're gonna have to rethink their philosophy after 2018, because if you watch all these liberal news outlets, they're predicting that Democrats are gonna sweep in.
Oh, I don't think so at all.
Yeah.
But they don't really realize that Trump is doing stuff that most of us can identify with and benefit from. They will not sweep in 2018.
You know something? Wait a second. You got to stop, because that is a great concept. Everyone out there is like, yeah, you know, as the Democrats talk about identity politics and racism and xenophobia and all that stuff, meanwhile, Joe Lunchpail's got $50 more in his pocket. Dr. Lopkin, and then Marty, what's more important?
Lopkin? Oh, it's definitely the money to survive. And it's more than $50 now, because now you've got the tax cut and you've got hundreds of companies giving raises and bonuses and passing that on to them.
Do you think that's a problem for the Democrats, Mr. Keenan?
Absolutely. But when you just heard the other day, Home Depot is giving people but other companies are increasing the wage increase without being mandated by government.
But I wonder how much of that was backroom kind of conversation to make the whole thing look good. You know, when they make these changes and they make these opportunities and they kind of wink and nod and say, you know, you could really help us out with this if you could just sprinkle a little fairy dust and some cash around.
Most corporations aren't for Trump because he's not a globalist. They wouldn't do that to help him. Corporations are on the side of the Democrats. They're globalists. Trump's a nationalist.
But to the average person, what the hell matters if I get... If you're telling me they made a deal with Trump to get him money, if I'm taking home $50, $75 a week, what the hell?
Let me throw one other concept to you, caller, because here's what I really believe. I think over the 8 years of the indoctrination of President Obama, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, it was the economy, stupid. I'm not completely convinced, because I think with the reign of Obama, I think we've really got into hyper-identity politics, social justice warriors, and it might actually trump, no pun intended, the economy. What say you?
Well, I'll tell you what. The best thing that ever happened to this country is Trump getting elected. I'll tell you why. It has brought this country face-to-face with its hypocrisy, not only with the FBI probe that's going on now, but its total hypocrisy of its representation to Americans of what it is or should be. Trump elections have brought even the media.
That, you know, is an excellent point, because it really shows you the emperor behind the curtain, that these, no, our political, if you will, the entrenched state was not really for America. They were for global corporate interests.
Absolutely. And the Democrats was on the precipice of that, because guess what? They always talk about taking care of the poor, but they took care of themselves first.
No question.
Yes, they did.
Well, great caller. Thank you very much. And you have a great weekend. And I'll throw this out to Marty first and then Dr. Lopkin. What do you think of Kerry when he did go to basically to talk to the Palestinian leaders and basically said, don't worry about Trump. He'll be out in a year. Is that subversion?
Oh, it's certainly, you know, not something that is helpful. I don't know if it's subversion. The fact that...
But he has a history of that starting in 1971 when he was talking about the atrocities in Vietnam while people were in the field.
Yeah.
People still haven't forgotten about that.
I know. Well, that's why I don't think he's going to be a viable candidate.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, he's not viable.
I think Booker might be. What do you think, Cory Booker? Even though he destroyed Newark?
I don't know about Cory Booker.
He's a weasel.
I've seen a couple of interviews with him, and he always seems to be just short of telling the truth. You know,
No, he's a weasel, yeah.
But I think, I don't know if you saw the interview that Trump gave from Davos, but he made a comment at Davos, and I think it's the first thing that is ever going to actually bring the Palestinians to the table. And he said point blank, look, we give hundreds of millions of dollars to you in aid. Mm-hmm. We expect you to sit down for the peace process. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, that money's going to be off the table.
No, and that's why Kerry, the great negotiator who did the Iran deal, doesn't understand it, the boy genius, the Harvard graduate, that's how you get people to engage.
Right. Nobody has
a blank check.
Nobody has ever said, look, we're going to tie your aid to the peace process.
There you go. And by the way, they had a great deal under Clinton, if you know that, Dr. Lopkin.
Oh,
when
yeah.
Arafat walked away from it. The liberal media won't tell you that, though. Anyway, caller, are you there?
Yes, hello.
Yes, hello. How are you doing today?
Good. First, I want to say I really enjoy your show, Jeff.
Thank you.
You guys are really great. But I have to take issue with the socialism thing.
Go ahead.
I'm just curious, how much subsidy, public subsidy, can there be in an economy before it becomes socialist? How do you guys define that?
Well, I mean, that's a slippery slope. I think right now, again, it's a matter of how you define it. Agreed. Agreed.
If you look at the American economy, right?
Yeah.
We're not really a pure market.
No, not at all.
No, nobody is.
No, not at all.
Subsidize energy.
Wait, let me just say one thing. What really bothers me is not the little guy getting a handout. It's the corporate welfare that
of
we
course.
Saw back in 08 with the handouts, and these idiots get rewarded for their own stupid mistakes, whereas in you and I, guess what? We're out on the street. So in that measure, I think corporate welfare is the biggest problem I see, not the little guy getting money.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I just want to give you an example, right? Let's take gasoline. We pay, about $2.50, $3 a gallon, depending on where you buy it?
Yep.
Right.
But we know that the real cost of gasoline, if you factor in all of the externalities that the oil companies have offloaded onto society, is really about $9, $10 a gallon. All the environmental damage, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
We're subsidizing it as taxpayers indirectly. So, you know...
No, but wait, let me ask you... No. Some of these things, because our government is basically highly incompetent. Hold on. I'm not arguing because I'm agreeing with you. Some of those subsidies made sense in 1910 when you needed oil, but of course now with lobbyists they keep those intact because One hand washes the other, and we don't have a government that serves us. It serves. I think we have a corporatology that is basically serving corporate interest.
Right, both parties.
Oh, God, yeah. The Democrats talk about the little guy, and meanwhile they're in bed with basically Wall Street, and the Republicans aren't so far off either.
Right, but one other thing. Go ahead and look at the transcript of Chinese President Xi's address that he gave to the Chinese party a few months back and what he's laid out. And if we're going to compete with those guys, I hate to have to, agree to this, but we're going to have to subsidize some industries because that's what the Chinese are doing.
Oh, no, wait.
That's what they did.
Right. They've done it, yes.
Here's the caller. I'm glad you brought that. I don't see how we win against the Chinese because we're so broken politically. Right. China can basically have a space program, meaning we're going to invest in this, we're going to do that, we're going to do and that. We are so fractured, we can't, look at the Democrats and Republicans. They can't get together on anything. How are you supposed to compete against an emerging superpower like China? I don't see it happening.
Unfortunately, Trump is the greatest gift to the Chinese. They're thanking their lucky stars. I'll be kind and just say El Presidente has taken office. He's just playing right into their hands.
Well, it's easy to dictate when you're a Chinese Communist Party where you have an authoritarian government, whereas in democracy you have dialogue.
What Marty just said is where I disagree with the caller with the first question. You said, well, how much money is subsidized until it's socialism?
Right.
I don't think it has to do with the money. It's who's making
control?
Yes, it's who's making the decision. Who's actually controlling it?
So the health insurance industry is making decisions for our health care. You can't disagree with that. So you'd rather have it in the hands of private corporations?
I don't want accountability.
I don't care.
No, I'd rather have it in my hands rather than someone else's.
I have a better point, caller. I don't want to discuss socialism. I'm not running away from it. It's just not exciting enough for me. Here's a point that I really want to ask you.
Okay,
is to me, if you talk about world capitalism, look at China as now a real threat to America technologically, militarily, economically. Who made them who they are?
We did.
Thank you. 30 years ago, they were nothing. They were plowing fields with ox. And now they got first rate military because guess what? Corporate interests, it's like Lenin said, they'll sell you the rope to hang them.
Absolutely.
And we did because I was a part of it. We'd go over to China. We'd share their technology. Bada bing, bada bing. 30 years later, hello. I don't know how it happened. Yeah, we're geniuses in America. And now all of a sudden we're like outraged because they have better fighters than us. They have, they're doing things that, we're kind of like, how does this happen? And oh my God, they're our enemy. Hey, geniuses, they're our enemy 30 years ago. But you were too greedy to realize that. Am I not correct, sir?
Absolutely. I agree with you.
Good. I like ending when I'm correct. You have a great weekend. Thank you.
Doing a great job.
Thank you very much. Take care. Yes, and that is true, gentlemen. It is a corporate interest that made China. They didn't do it. It wasn't homegrown intellect and capital. We fed them. We fed the beast, and now we have to deal with it, and it's going to cost us trillions to compete with them.
And even a guy like Jack Ma, with his Alibaba, actually brought that idea back from the United States.
Yeah.
So he was mimicking our successes in that regard.
Jack Ma actually created Alibaba in a coffee shop in San Francisco.
Right. Yep.
And then went back over there, basically took over their economy with it.
That's right. And so even recently, the President Xi has put forward with his One Road, One Goal program. They're going to start pulling back on that subsidies. They understand that the debt can, begin to drag them down, much like what we're experiencing now.
It is already starting to drag them down. I mean, they've got massive cities that are empty.
Yeah, yes. That was part of that growth that they were trying to create that was false.
So now, on the subject of, by the way, you can join our discussion at 860-685-7700, 685-7700. Gentlemen, I think we've got a great show going on today. So EU is something that I despise, Dr. Lopkin. hopefully will be on its deathbed because Finland, a once socialist country, has now a strong nationalist that wants to pull the plug on the EU. Are you upset about that, Dr. Lapkin?
No, I'm not upset about it.
Can it happen soon enough?
I've never been a big fan of EU. I've always sort of been apathetic. I mean, I'm not against it, but I'm not for it.
Can I tell you a little thing about why I don't like the EU?
Go ahead.
It has nothing to do with economics, although it does, in fact, in part. But EU started, like everything else, like the reviews in football. It starts out harmless enough, couple reviews a game, blah, 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 blah. That's what happened to the EU. It's going to be an economic collaboration between European countries,
right,
essentially to compete against the United States. But then they started dictating what kind of light bulbs you're going to have, what immigration policy is going to be had.
And that's where it fell apart.
There you go.
Yes.
And if you're a country that wants borders and wants an identification with your own country, that was poo-pooed because you're not smart enough, you're not intellectual enough to look at the big picture of one globalized world. Am I not correct?
You're absolutely right. Now, the big problem with the EU from the get-go is they have a flawed structure. You can't have a single currency
with countries that have different
with different economies.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Greece is not England.
Correct. Exactly. You can't. You know, they were making the assumption that everybody was going to have the economy of Germany, and it just doesn't happen that way.
And if it started to impact the little guy in terms of the things that he enjoys, much like a cup of tea or going to the pitch to see the soccer game, and things started to become more expensive, that was a problem.
And I believe Angela Merkel was one of the key drivers of the EU's demise because,
oh, yes,
with her open borders policy, other European countries looked at that and citizenry and basically gasped.
Gee, what a shock. A German leader tried to take over Europe.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we've never seen that before.
Well, it's also their banks that are instrumental, a lot of that. And something I was reading about the other day came across an organization known as the Bank of International Settlements. Are you familiar with this?
No, I don't know this one.
This is the Bank of Banks. This is the lender to all major central banks, of which all those central banks have members on that board.
Right.
So when you talk about pulling the curtain back from, you know, who's directing whom, there's layers and layers and layers that
Marty,
we often try to
I think you're right. I think the biggest issue is really the struggle is coming up. The struggle right now used to be communism, capitalism. The struggle now is nationalism versus global corporate interests. Am I not mistaken, Dr. Lapkin?
I don't think it's nationalism versus global corporate. I think it's individualism.
Okay, I'll give it. So nationalism I equate with individualism because at least you have the ability to be self-directed within your own country.
Within your own country. I think it's even more severe than that, though. I think people don't want to be told, you have to do this, you have to do that. They want the ability to explore for themselves, to grow for themselves. That's why people came to America, because this was...
But that does not serve corporate global interests.
It does not serve corporate global interests.
And that's why both our parties, and Trump is so hated and despised because he exposes that both parties are basically captive to global corporate interests.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. The one thing that Trump has absolutely given people that they've been asking for so long, and now that they actually see it, they don't want it anymore, was transparency. He doesn't hold back. He, you know, talks about all this stuff up front. Everything comes out. And now everybody's going, you know, we've been caught talking about transparency for 20 years. I think we liked it when the curtain was drawn.
I think, and it's not like, you know, a Trump party, and it's not really what I'm really getting at, is I think he did expose, you're right, Lapkin, that the incompetency of our government.
Yeah.
They're incompetent.
Our government has never been terribly competent, but it thrived on the belief of its people, because for decades, actually centuries,
we thought,
okay, the U.S. government, they've got our backs, they're protecting us, and now, of course, now...
Do you find the FBI probe in terms of the secret meetings, the secret societies, basically, essentially a coup attempt against an elected president, do you find that troubling?
Oh, yes.
Marty, do you find that troubling?
If it's true, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's do some news items.
Okay. Well, we were talking about immigration earlier. Perhaps you saw where the immigration ICE has been going into California and into 7-Elevens. And they have gone into 98 stores, and actually they've gone into 17 states. And they're also arresting those folks that had hired the illegal immigrants as well as the illegal immigrants themselves.
I think you point to something else that's going to be happening. I think there's a real showdown between California and our government.
Yes, there is.
There is. It's going to be – that is not going to be pretty.
No.
And you know something? It wasn't that long ago, the 90s. They had – well – back in the 60s, he had Reagan as a governor. They had, I forgot his name, Gray or whatever, as a Republican governor. California has gone off the rails. Then they've destroyed themselves.
Yeah, their economy is terrible.
People leaving faster than Connecticut.
Oh, yeah.
The natural disasters aren't helping either.
No, the natural disasters don't help
either.
That's
not really at the core issue.
No,
It's because they've run a nut house. Anyway, go ahead.
Our friend Kenny Grombach, our demographer friend, would probably be interested to know that the maker of Huggies is beginning to shed 5,000 jobs and shutting down factories worldwide because of declining birth rates that are affecting the diaper sales and the retail price war that's taking place between Amazon and Walmart and everybody that they just can't keep up.
I would agree.
And so there.
One more news item real quick.
Okay. Well, as an Eagle fan, and as well as I know you're a big Eagle fan, the police is beginning to try to figure out how are they going to control those folks if, in fact, the Eagles do win the Super Bowl.
The city's going to burn.
So they're going to have assigned officers on patrol on foot, on bikes, on horses, and they're going to grease up all of the poles with Crisco so they can't climb up onto the poles and start jumping off.
If Philly wins, which I want them to do, the celebration will be more exciting than the victory. Okay, buzzwords.
The Heritage Foundation.
Dr. Lobkin?
I've always found the Heritage Foundation to be sort of sketchy.
Yeah, well, they're very happy with Mr. Trump. Oh, there you go. Beep, beep. Tariffs. We kind of talked a little bit about that.
Very, very dangerous.
Very dangerous. Trump just put two of them into effect.
So, no, in limited, because Reagan did that with the steel industry in little, isolated.
Yep.
If you don't do it too much, because it can come back and bite.
Yes, it can.
The doomsday clock.
It's ticking pretty quick.
It just went up 30 seconds the other day.
And it should.
What about the Hall of Fame elected folks that just were elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame? Chipper Jones.
Chipper Jones didn't deserve it. The rest of them were fine.
Who's the rest?
Vladimir Guerrero.
Vladimir Putin?
Trevor Hoffman. And then earlier on in the year, we had Jack Morris in December that was brought
Chipper
in.
Chipper did not agree.
Six people are being put in
awesome.
There. The thing for me is a harbinger for spring. I'm starting to see lawn care commercials on TV. Good. Does that make you excited?
I like to get
I'm all for the spring. Yeah,
absolutely.
Two more.
I had mentioned the. How about this Naomi Parker Fraley? Do you know this woman's name?
No.
She died at 96, and she was the original Rosie the Riveter.
Oh, yes, I did hear about her.
And so she was utilized certainly for propaganda.
Some body work on my car. Anyway, we're done, gentlemen.
Thank
it was
you
a
so
great
much.
Show.
Great callers.
And great callers. We'll be back next week with another exciting edition of The Buzz. Have a great weekend.